From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our gospel program. Thank you for joining with me once more around the Word of God. Ours is an old-fashioned program with a singular emphasis upon the Word of God. Today we will be looking at John chapter 12, the verses 3 to 8. Our study is entitled Mary Anointing the Feet of the Savior. Let me remind you of our program tonight at 9 o'clock. I will be bringing the first of a short series of messages entitled So Near, Yet So Far. They are based upon John chapter 9, the verses 1 through to 9. Do join me then, once more, around the Bible. Here's a hymn which I hope will have you joining in the singing of it. It's entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus. After we listen to the hymn, we'll be turning to John chapter 12. Turning to the Word of God, to John chapter 12, the verses 3 to 8. In an earlier study, I pointed out how that whenever we read of Mary, she seemed always to be at the feet of the Saviour. Here again we see this good woman before the feet of Christ. It was the place of lowliness and the place of worship. It is the place where the saints of God should ever be found. Before the infant Christ, the wise men fell down, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Wise men and wise women have ever been found before the feet of the Saviour. First of all, note the form of Mary's thanksgiving. Mary's was a true and a heartfelt gratitude. She was conscious of the many wonderful blessings she had received from the Saviour and of the great debt she owed him. Serving at the table, as did Martha, was not enough for Mary. Her love must manifest itself on a higher level. Mary used the costliest ointment. It is stated to be such, and the protest of Judas confirms that it was a very expensive ointment. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Verses 3-5. While with grateful heart Mary gladly poured out the ointment, the greedy heart of Judas was grieved at what he considered a waste. Of course, his concern was not for the poor, whose interests he claimed he represented, but rather, being a thief, he was vexed that he did not have an opportunity of getting his hands on the large sum of money the precious ointment could have been sold for. What hypocrisy is concealed behind a pretended interest in the welfare of the poor? We have all read of the prosecution of charity workers that frequently takes place. Such greed is akin to that greed which Judas here displayed. Charity that does not put Christ first is no charity. Those who do much for the cause of Christ himself do most for the cause of the poor. Mary was liberal in her giving. The fact that the house was filled with the odour of the ointment, verse 3, indicates her unstinting generosity. The house, every room, every nook and cranny, bore testimony to the love of Mary for Christ her Saviour. Where Christ is so honoured, there will be a sweetness in that home, and the neighbours around will note the godly, pleasant atmosphere prevailing there. Mary stooped low in her worship. It says Mary wiped his feet with her hair, verse 3. From the account of the same incident in Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 6, and Mark chapter 14 and the verse 3, it is clear that Mary anointed both the head and the feet of Christ. Her final act, that of wiping his feet with her hair, brought her to that lowly position beneath the feet of Christ. What a picture of submission and subservience is here presented to us. She was utterly yielded to Christ as her Lord and Master. Here is the position that every true believer should adopt. Mary's was the act of a slave proclaiming her surrender to the mind and will of her Master. Christian, such should be our position. Ezekiel the prophet, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, Daniel the prophet, in Daniel 8 and the verse 18, the disciples, in Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 6, John the apostle, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, all showed the same spirit of surrender when faced with the revelation of the glorious person of Christ. Mary was indeed conscious of the person of her Saviour. She was more aware of who he was than were any of his apostles. She had a greater, a deeper perception of the person and the purpose of the Saviour than did any of his disciples. Note the Saviour's words in verse 7. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." Mary knew that Christ would die and be buried long before that truth dawned upon the other disciples. This lowly woman was better tutored in the deep things of God than were the Peters or the Johns. Why? Because she was lowly and humble and loved her Saviour much. Remember the words of Christ in Matthew 18, verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Mary was undoubtedly one of the great ones in the kingdom of heaven. She knew of things that the apostles had yet to learn. Secondly, note that Mary's action was considered wrong. We are told in Matthew chapter 26, the verse 8, that when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" Here in John's account, the words of Judas are specifically recorded. It must not be considered a strange thing if the actions of a devoted child of God are misunderstood and criticized and opposed by other Christians. Many Christians, when this happens, are themselves greatly offended by this opposition and react in a most carnal manner and huff and vow never to do anything for the Lord again. Thus their usefulness is instantly ended. This is a trap we must avoid. Note that you do not read of one word of defense from Mary. She apparently remained silent under this attack. That was the right course for her to take. But Christ did not remain silent. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone." Verse 7. How much more effective were the words spoken by the Saviour in defense of Mary than any words she may have spoken in her own defense? There was absolutely no response from the disciples to the Saviour's rebuke, but they would have replied to Mary had she spoken. Furthermore, the Lord that day erected a memorial to Mary's love and devotion, and we find ourselves standing at that memorial right now. We read in Matthew chapter 26, the verse 13, the words on this memorial to Mary. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." It is always best to leave your defense in the hands of Christ. Join me tonight at 9 o'clock. I will be introducing a new study entitled So Near and Yet So Far. It's a study based on John chapter 5, the verses 1 to 9. Join me then, please. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.